Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth, practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Back to Galatians chapter 3. And dropping in, we'll review just at least for a second, verse 26, where we ended. For now, Paul says to these Galatian believers, who remember for the most part are Gentiles, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And as I mentioned in our last program, when Paul speaks of faith in Christ, he's speaking, of course, of that whole finished work of redemption, which is his death, his burial, his shed blood, and his resurrection. No, Paul stresses constantly the power of his resurrection. All right, now then, the next verse. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into your denomination have put on Christ. Well, that's the way most people read it, isn't it? Sure. You ask the average individual, how did you become a member of your church? Well, I was baptized into it. And that's not what the Scripture says. Here it says you have been baptized into Christ. And there's not a drop of water in this verse. It's as dry as a bone. It's just as dry as it can be. There's no water in here. And I'll come back to Romans chapter 6, the same thing. And I'll never forget the first time I heard a guest preacher in one of our previous churches where Iris and I were active. My goodness, he preached from Romans chapter 6, and when he said there wasn't a drop of water in this third verse, we thought he was way out in left field. And I was probably one of the strongest. But all I can see now that he was 100% right. There is no water in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Basically, the same thing as what he's saying in Galatians chapter 3. Know ye not, Romans 6, verse 3 now, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into, not a denomination, not into a church, but into what? Into Jesus Christ. And don't you know that if you've been placed in Christ, then before you could get there, you had to be identified with His what? His death. And how have I always put it? Oh, listen, I guess I got the board clean. I can use it again. When Christ died, God saw every one of us on the cross in the person of Christ. He died in our place. And this is what God saw. He saw you and I crucified. And that's what he means in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. All right, now just as surely as God saw us on the cross in the person of Christ, he saw us in the tomb. And so here we are. We're in the tomb. We're buried with him. Not by water, but by virtue of God determining that now, since he had paid the sin debt for all and for those who believe and appropriate it, yes, then God says, oh yes, you're dead. You're crucified. I saw you in Christ. I saw you buried with him in his death, in his tomb. And so also we've been resurrected with him to a new life. We are totally different people as a result of this power of his resurrection. And so it's a God thing. God in his omnipotence, in his power, in his omniscience, in his ability to work in the area of the invisible, he has placed us in all of these places. In the area of the invisible, he has seen every one of us crucified with Christ. In the area of the invisible, he saw every one of us there in the tomb with Christ. In the area of the invisible, he has resurrected every one of us to a new life. How often haven't I made the illustration? If you were to go down to the morgue and accompany a pathologist in an autopsy, would you ever see the soul of a person? Would you ever see their spirit? Of course not. It's invisible. Does that mean it's not for real? Well, you better believe it's for real or you wouldn't be here. But they're invisible. And that's where God works, in that area of the invisible. He works in the area of our soul and our spirit. And human hands can't touch that. You can baptize this old body 100 times, and it's not going to change the soul and the spirit, because this is only an outer tabernacle. But the soul and the spirit are invisible. And so that is in the area where only God can work. Oh, I wish people could understand that. All right? And so here we have, don't you know that as many as were baptized into Christ were also baptized or identified in His death? And then you come on up to verse 8 in this same Romans chapter 6. Now, if we be dead with Christ, in other words, if we've been crucified with Him, we've been buried with Him, if we've been dead with Christ, then we believe that we shall also what? Live with Him. How? By resurrection power. See? We've been raised in resurrection power. We're a new person. We're a whole new being. And now we are placed into Christ. How? Oh, now it's in Romans. On your way back to Galatians, stop at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses that we use over and over because they are so foundational and they are so simplistic. You don't have to have a seminary degree to understand some of these verses. They're so simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's capitalized, are we, how many? All. Not just the most spiritual. Not some out of one group and maybe some out of, no, no. For we are all by the Holy Spirit. What's the next word? Baptized. And here's another verse that's as dry as a bone. There's not a drop of water in here. Not a drop. It's the work of the Holy Spirit working in the area of the invisible, placing you and I now in that new resurrected personage into that relationship with Christ in the body. In the body of Christ. All right? So we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. And it doesn't make any difference who we are, what we are, as long as we're believers, whether we be Jew or Gentile. It's not just for the Jew. It's not just for the Gentile. Whether we be bond or free. Now, I know the black and the white isn't in here, but you go back into Bible times, who, were, for the most part, were the slaves? Well, the black people. And so blacks were just as eligible for salvation as whites. The red and the yellow. There is no color line in the body of Christ. We are all baptized into that body of Christ, and we are all one in Christ. You know, I mentioned to our class, I think it was last night. You know, we just came back from that cruise on the Mediterranean, and we had 62 of us from various parts of the country. But you know what? In a matter of 24 hours, we had all come together as though we'd known each other all our life. Why? Believers. See? We were all believers. We were all members of the body of Christ. And you're not strangers long when you're believers. And it's so beautiful. Now, next week, of course, we'll be going back to Israel and we'll have a different group. And I know the same thing's going to happen again. That whole group of people is just going to come together, and by the time we come back, it's going to be as close-knit as family. I know every group we've ever taken over, whenever we get a chance, we still like to get together and have reunions of sort. And it just shows the fact that when you become members of the body of Christ, there is that unity that nothing can take apart. All right, now this is what, of course, alone comes from the writings of Paul. This isn't taught in the Gospels. This isn't taught in the Old Testament. But Paul is constantly at it, that when we have faith in the Gospel, then we become a member of the body of Christ. All right, now back to Galatians chapter 3. And this is too good a verse to just casually go over. I'm going to spend a lot of time in it, believe me. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. So if you have been baptized by that Holy Spirit's work into the body of Christ, then something else has happened. What? You have put on Christ. Now, I know that maybe some of these things take more faith than the average believer has. But come back with me again to Romans. Because, you see, Romans is the first book of doctrine that Paul writes, at least in our New Testament. And this is where we have to spend most of our time. Romans chapter 3. And again, those verses we looked at earlier, 21 and 22. We looked at 19 and 20 in our previous program this afternoon, but now let's come on down to 21 and 22. Y'all there? Remember up in verse 20 it says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified, for the law brings nothing but the knowledge of sin. All right, now read on to 21. But the flip side, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or brought into the spotlight. It becomes the very epitome of everything. And it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, what did I tell you in the last program? The Bible is a what? Progressive revelation. Now, here is a good indication of that. Here we are in grace. No law. Nothing that's part of our salvation comes from the law. But what does grace rest on? The law and the prophets. Why? Because they came before. See? It's a progressive thing. Here comes the law of Moses. And then here come the prophets. And with all of their teachings concerning the coming of the king and the kingdom. And then as we've seen, that all just falls through the cracks. And so temporarily God turns to the Gentiles and calls out the church. Of course we build on everything that's gone before. See? All right. Reading on in Romans 3. And so the righteousness of God without law is witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Not our righteousness. Ours is nothing but filthy rags. But God's righteousness, which is by, and again I like to put in the article if I dare, by the faith or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all, and what's the next word? Upon all that believe. Now I like to look at that word upon, it's just like being draped with some blanket or cloak or something or other that just totally covers me up. And it's the righteousness of God. Which means that whenever God looks at me, whenever He looks at you, what does He see? He sees that outer covering. And who is that outer covering? It's Christ. And that's what it means to put on Christ, that whatever God sees, it's not me, it's not you, it's Christ. And how does that happen? By a work of God. I can't do it. You know, like I explained to, I think, again, the class last night or Monday night, I don't remember. But can we crucify ourselves? Impossible. There's no way a person can crucify themselves. You might be able to have guts enough to put the first nail in, but how are you going to put in the second one? Hey, you got no way of doing it. And so it becomes utterly impossible. And so we have to realize the same way in salvation. I can't do anything. God has to do it. Because this is being done in the area of the invisible, in the spirit, see? Okay, back again to Galatians, and by that time I'll probably think of another verse. But I think we're ready. All right? So we have put on Christ. And according to Romans, that becomes what? His righteousness. His righteousness. Yeah, I knew I'd think of another one. Isaiah. Oh, these are too good to pass up. You know, it might be a long time before we come this way again. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Y'all with it? Okay. I, Isaiah writes, will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Now, this is even a man under the law, remember. For he, God, hath clothed me. Now, watch the analogy. He has clothed me with the garments of what? Salvation. He has what? Covered me with the robe of righteousness. See how that fits with Romans? Upon all that believe, what dropped? The righteousness of God. Upon old Isaiah, what dropped? The clothing of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That's the outward view now that God sees of that believer. Adorned, covered with righteousness. And boy, inside is still old me, you know, for the most part, still old you. But, oh, on the other hand, we are new creations in Christ because of all that has happened when we believe. Not when we go through a bunch of rituals, not when we go through a bunch of walking the aisles and so forth. Nothing against that, don't get me wrong, but listen, that doesn't save anybody. That'll never save anybody. All right, come back to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 29. If you be, or if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Now, that doesn't make you a Jew. Careful. Careful. A lot of people teach that. That when you become a Christian, you become a Jew. No. You don't become a Jew, but we become the offspring of Abraham in the realm of the Spirit. And so, if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And if you're of the seed of Abraham now in the realm of the spiritual, then you become what? Heirs according to the promise. Now think about that. That if you're Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Now again, we've got to go back to Genesis 12. Because you have to see these things before they really begin to make sense. Back to Genesis 12, even though we were there a few programs ago. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll just look at the third verse, the last part of that covenant again, where God says to Abram, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse him that curseth thee. And now look at the last part. And in thee, remember he's talking about Abraham, or Abram, and in thee shall all the families of Israel be blessed? What? Of the whole earth. So you see, God is looking way beyond the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is looking way beyond the law. He's looking at this age of grace when now His blessings of salvation go to the whole human race. And as we saw in a previous verse, rich or poor, black or white, east or west, it makes no difference. As soon as we become a believer of the gospel, we're one in Christ and we're in the body, and we then become heirs of the promises made to Abram. Because you see, his promises went way beyond the nation of Israel. And so that's where we come in then, and as I showed it in an earlier program, as Abram or Abraham was saved by faith plus how much? Nothing. Always think of that. Did Abraham bring sacrifices for salvation? No. Was Abraham circumcised before he could have salvation? No. Was Abraham under the law? No. So what did Abraham do to merit salvation? Believe God. That's all. And so he becomes then the first to really be saved by faith plus nothing. And immediately after, sacrifices are coming in again. So now then, here we are. In fact, I usually like to put it on the board in my class. I guess maybe I can do it again. Here we are. In fact, I got the cross up there. That's fine. Here we are, 2000 B.C. And Abram, saved by faith plus nothing. Here we are over here in our age of grace, the 1900 pluses. Saved by faith plus nothing. So what does it do? It just simply ties us to the man Abram. And that's where we're connected, not through earthly progeny, but only in the realm of the spiritual do we become the children of Abraham. Is that clear? Oh, I hope I can make that plain. that here is where the connection comes in, that as God made the promises to Abram 2,000 years B.C., that yes, out of him would come the nation of Israel. Yes, through the nation of Israel would come the law. And yes, Israel would be the vehicle that crucified the Redeemer and made our salvation possible. But then Israel slips off the scene, and the Gentiles come into that place, like I mentioned a few programs ago. Where are we? We're dwelling on the root and the fatness of Abraham, because all of those promises that were made to Abraham now become ours. And so we have entered in to the whole concept of being joint heirs according to the promises. All right, now that joint heir should bring us back to Romans 8. Come on up there now. You were back in Genesis. Come on up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Let's just start with verse 14. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not hope to be, not might be, but they are the sons or the born ones of God. For, he says in verse 15, now you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What did I tell you about the law? It was a burden. It was severe. Don't tell me they didn't live in a segment of fear. My goodness, I'll bet you more than once they slipped out on a Saturday afternoon and tried to pick up a few sticks and scared to death that somebody would see them and they would be stoned to death. But you see, we're not in that situation. Oh, Paul says we're not under that spirit of bondage and fear. But a flip side, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let me go back again to our last program. You remember what I told you when that Greek or Roman tutor had that child completely ready as an adult son to step in and be co-equal with the father? Now, did he have to come in like a little puppy dog and almost afraid of old dad? No. He's now a prepared young man. He's ready to come right in and work alongside the father. Why? Because he's been well tutored. He's ready for it. All right, that's where we are. Oh, by virtue of the work of the cross, now God can place us as a full, completely tutored son of God, and we can come right in alongside with him. That's our position. Now, someday, if the Lord tarries, we'll be going into the book of Ephesians when we finish Galatians. And Ephesians is a book of position. Where are we as believers? Oh, we're in that exalted position. Even though we're here on the earth, we're under the curse, we're up against all the things that the rest of the world is, and a lot of us are kind of blind to the fact. But in faith, we can see that we're already in that exalted position in the heavenlies. We are already joint heirs with Christ. All right, you're back in Romans 8. So we have received the spirit of adoption, verse 15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, again, let your mind run a little rampant. Can you picture that, maybe that 18-year-old son in the Middle East, and maybe his father has a jewelry store, and those of you who have been there, you know how beautiful they can be. Boy, those jewelry stores in the Middle East, they'll just knock your eyes out. Can you imagine the exhilaration of both the father and the son the first morning that fellow comes in and says, Dad, oh, I'm finally ready, and I'm going to run the business with you. And that father was just as exhilarated, and he said, Son, I've been waiting for this day. Got an idea? Sure you do. All right, that's what God says. Every time a child of God is saved, God the Father says, Oh, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this day. And he places us right up there in a place of full responsibility. Oh, I know we begin as babes and we feed on the milk of the Word, but positionally we're right up there with God the Son. All right, one more verse, and I imagine it'll be time to stop. So verse 16, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, and again, not hope to be, we are the children of God. And if we're children, if we're born ones, we're then what? Heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. What a word. Joint heirs. What's His is our. And on the other hand, what's ours should be His. See? And so joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed materials, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Again, thanks for listening. And please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.